the excitement that was around, it was cool. You feel so good about history.
A change of perspective gives you a clue, an appreciation for what other people have done, why they've done it, how they've done it, and even more important, all of that is the fact that it gives you an inkling of what you can do if and when you have to.
For this episode, we'll get to meet Mark Woodbury again, Kevin's former missionary companion. A special bonus is we get to meet Becky, his wife, who came with him to the San Diego event at the Old Town State Park.
We arrived in San Diego a few days before the huge multi-stake event that they had there on the last weekend of January every year. And so that's when the big hoopla was and all the big celebrations with the parade, etc. And they had a lot of fun booths set up around the park so that people could come and participate in a lot of hands-on activities, look up their ancestors, and even bake little things of bread over some little charcoal briquette ovens. So it was just a wonderful day, lots of fun. Everybody gathered. We set up an encampment. But what was really surprising was Kevin's kind of fun invitation to have everybody come and watch him shave off his beard. The episode before, we talked about how the day before he had to go find a straight edge razor and what a challenge that was and how apprehensive he was about using it. So I thought the best way for you to capture what happened was to actually have Kevin read you his entry in his blog for that day. So, Kevin, go ahead.
That I may supplement with a few more thoughts since then. But so anyway, as we had finished out through, I think, late Arizona over towards Yuma, and then as we came across California, people were just always giving me grief about the beard and how big it was, how unruly it was, and my hair just really nasty looking. But that's how I think the guys looked by and large. And one of the first things that Cook had them do when they got to Mission San Luis Rey after they had arrived in San Diego was had them clean up, meaning they had to trim their hair and their beards and come into compliance with Army standards at the time. Interestingly enough, those same Army standards still apply today, as we know from our son who flies for the Army. Anyway, so I'm going to go now to the blog, which I think fairly well captured what happened. So, quoting now, "Everyone asks about the beard. My face hasn't seen a razor since 5th of July, and the 7 months' growth is substantial. In fact, Denny has not really had much facial contact with me, meaning kisses, for about 4 months or so. I can't blame her. The hair hasn't been trimmed either, and I'll be glad to get rid of it. Now, my only concession has been to snip the mustache a tad and the corners of my mouth, because if you're chewing along, sometimes those little hairs get caught and it really pulls and hurts on the corners. Val Halford, one of the major reenactors from Salt Lake, said I had done the reenactors a great service by showing them just how big a beard gets in the 7 months. And so that's kind of easy research, you'd think. So anyway, I had joked a few times about cutting the beard, starting out over in Yuma. I jokingly said people were invited to San Diego to see me cut it off. And it was really a half-hearted joke. But that morning, again, on the stage there at San Diego, I said, "Well, y'all are invited to our camp at 3 p.m. to see me shave off the beard." 2:45, Denny reminded me that I'd better get ready for it. There wasn't really anybody hanging around our camp. People coming through and seeing and then wandering off, but nobody really standing around like they have any expectations. But Denny was insistent, so I went over to one of the local restaurants and got some hot water in one of our camp cooking buckets, which interestingly enough is what the guys did. So I came back at 2:55, and honest to hoot, there's about 60 people standing around our camp waiting for this. So it's either put up or shut up. Now, the minor consideration here is I had never used a straight razor ever. I mean, I'd used double bladed razors with the, Wilkinson sword with the covers and everything, but I'd never used a bare straight edge. And so I was a little concerned about how much blood was going to get spilled. So I even tried to warn the crowd, if anybody was queasy seeing blood, they'd better sit down or just leave, because I really expected this was going to be it. So what happens? A mother brings her little kids and literally puts them down, sitting right at my feet. Anyway, long story short, for some reason, I get the idea to shave one half of my face first. I hadn't really planned it, but as I started, I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be a good before and after kind of a vision. So I peel off the right side of my face with and without the beard. So I turn left, turn right, and people can see the difference there. And even seeing the photos after the fact, I'm surprised myself. You can imagine these guys back in 1846 wanting their families to be able to see what they looked like. But military regulations were that you had to be clean shaven. And mustaches had to be trimmed to the corners of the lips. Anyway, so Cook appropriately ordered the men to clean up. And that's Army speak for shave and groom. And so they did that the following week when they got up to San Luis Rey. They didn't actually do it at San Diego, but they did it very quickly afterwards. And you're never going to have another crowd like that to watch. So anyway, after the photos, I finished the bead, shave off my left side. And... the blood loss was not as bad as I thought it might get, but there really was a fair amount of scrapes and little nicks. So anyway, after that was done, I walked over to the local restroom, a few hundred feet away, and they had a mirror. And this is the first time I've seen my face after many, many months. And the other thing is that I was not gaunt, but I certainly was thinner in the face than I remembered. And so then... Geez, I looked kind of good.
But I have to tell you, the most vivid memory I have is Denny with half of his face shaved off. That's my most vivid memory. That was Kevin. So great.
I'm Kevin.
I'm sorry, Kevin. So yes, Kevin, your half beard is a vivid memory of that day. But my thoughts up until I saw you were of the impressions of thinking of those people that came in. Because I'd done a lot of reading about, you know, the trek and everything and all what was going on. And I knew that I felt it was historic. I felt like I was a part of history doing that, coming in. That you were, you know, that I was grateful to be a part of your, you know, you were the one that I was most feeling proud to be a part of.
Well, we wanted to make sure anybody that wanted to play that day had the opportunity to do so. So yeah. I'm grateful that all of you showed up. And as far as the beard thing, I may redo that half beard again in January. I'm not sure.
You're going to grow from now until January, you mean?
I have permission, yes.
Anyway, 4 o'clock arrives and the state park people start hurrying us off. It's time to break down and get out of the park so that they can close up for the day. So we have a bunch of photographs and everything. Off we go. We had arranged to have kind of a potluck dinner the night after everything had toned down in San Diego Park. Now, Balboa Camp is up on the mesa, which is a certain level. It's the same level that the San Diego Zoo is on, the old Exposition Park is on. And the streams have cut through the mesa, and they've also used those to dig down. And so the interstates go down through these canyons, if you will, through the mesa. So we're up on the mesa, maybe 100 yards from one of the main interstates there, and cars are zooming by. Big sycamore trees, white bark, and very tall. They've been around for quite some time. And then the scout camp offices are off to us, and the storage, we're literally parked in a storage area. And a couple friends have come along, and they have their campers there or their tents put up. So anyway, it's getting dark, and we're there. And all these people start showing up. And we didn't really keep a good count, but I'm thinking pretty close. There's about 50 people that show up, bringing some of their own foods and stuff that we had prepared. Now, a lot of these people have contributed time and effort and encouragement, or been with us at one part or another along the trail. So these are people who have literally helped us succeed with our efforts. Some of them are Trek board members, old friends, new friends, relatives, and new people to meet. Some of their locals, some have driven 1,000 miles to be with us. And we're so grateful that they were.
They were really like the wind beneath our wings, right?
Yeah, that song is kind of popular at the time. And so, sure, that applies. So anyway, we've had the Dutch ovens cooking. The little gas stoves have been busy. Different people are meeting each other. Some of them knew each other very well. Others had never met. And so you've got, as you're sitting there watching this, you're seeing these little groups form and talk for a while. Then they break apart and reform with slightly different groups. And it's just, they're sharing stories about their particular ancestor, which is very typical for battalion relatives. And some of them are sharing their own experiences during the past year as we've been hiking. And so there's lots of food. We're stuffed by the end of the evening, and we clean up and people start heading home because the gates close at 10 o'clock and they've got to be out of there or they're going to stay the night with us inside the scout camp. So it's been a really good ending to a really great day. The gate closes and I'm kind of standing around and walking through camp, putting things away and cleaning up, and it's dark. So being San Diego, a thick fog comes rolling in off the bay, and there's floodlights in the background of the, in the backyard, if you will, of the scout camp. And they have these floodlights and they're shining up and they're shining on the white bark of the sycamore trees and up into the fog. And so it really, not eerie, scary, but strange. It really looks odd. And then you've got the 4-lane highway right there and the cars zooming by, the background noise and everything. And as I'm standing there in the middle of San Diego, here comes a coyote just strolling through camp. And that makes it even more surreal. It's just bizarre. And here we are in San Diego and we're almost done. And that's the most surreal part of the whole day. If there's any success that we enjoyed on this, we have to give the majority of the credit to the people who assisted us all along the way. This is very much more as much their story as it is our story. And so we hope you've gained that sense as we've shared our stories and as we've had these audio blogs to try to bring people back into the story who were very instrumental in us with our efforts. And we know much more about the trail now. We know much about them. And as we've done more research in the National Archives with the association, we have far more information, which we think will be of benefit to those who follow us. So here's to 2046 and the 200th. We hope someone will take on the task to reenact in some degree what we and they did. Thank you for listening. That pretty well wraps it.